Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon. I want to welcome you to today's show of the American College Experience. My name is Jason Haynes. I'm the host of this show and also the Chief Executive Officer of the UR Tennis Network. We're so excited that you've joined us today. On today's show, we have Columbus State coach Evan Isaacs, who will be joining us in just a little bit. I want to remind you that we have other shows on air each week. Tuesday morning, we have Parenting Aces with Lisa Goodman Stone. She broadcasts out of Atlanta, Georgia at 10:30 in the morning, Central Standard Time. Wednesday, before I come on the air, we have American Tennis with Chuck Creasy. Chuck comes on 11 o'clock Central Standard Time. We have my show, which airs each Wednesday at 1 o'clock Central Standard Time. And then we also have John Denise with the Florida High School Tennis Coaches Association Perspective on Thursday afternoon at 4:30 Central Standard Time. So as you can tell, we don't just have this one show. We have many shows that we'd like for you to listen to each week and tell your friends about us. Before we get to Coach Isaacs today, we've got some great tennis news information that's out there. And it starts with the ITA-USTA Small College Championships, which were held last week. And we have Georgia Gwinnett, which is, you know, we've had Coach Chase Hodges on here a couple of times before. They stole the show on the men's side. His player, Kevin Konfondrak, won the men's singles and doubles titles in the Super Bowl action. And they were playing at the Palmetto Tennis Center in Sumter, Carolina. He earned a Super Bowl match spot after claiming the NAIA singles and doubles titles. He claimed his first major championship when he swiftly defeated the Division II singles champion Jan Meyer of Azusa Pacific 6-2, 6-2 in the Super Bowl final. And his second title came when he and teammate Jordan Cox took out Concordia New York's Jui Mao and Ophir Gannat 6-2, 6-4 in the doubles championship. Now, what this means is that each player that wins the Super Bowl, and let me get to the women's championship first. We had Alejandra Cisneros of Armstrong State, the Division II program. She defeated JUCO competitor Marciana Oliveras from ACA Miami, which is now where head coach Brian Slack is at. Alejandra won the match 6-0, 6-2 in the singles. And in women's doubles, Rosalie Willig and Diane Bigoli of Lynn defeated Oliveras and Megan Blanco 6-3, 6-3. And each of these winners, what's unique about this event, and this is just one of college tennis's great events, they bring in each of the division's champions with Division II, Division III, NAIA, and JUCO to come in to one place, possible 64 teams, come in and they each play a singles and doubles championship in each division, and then each winner in that division then moves on to what they call the Super Bowl. They draw to see who plays each other. It may be the Division IIs playing the JUCOs and the NAIA playing the Division IIIs, but they play a semifinal match, and then a final match is played with the winner. The winner of each of these matches, they get a special trip. They get to compete alongside Division I competitors at the International Indoor Intercollegiate Championships, the 2015 Championships, which will take place at the November 12th through the 15th at the USTA Billie Jean King National Tennis Center in Flushing Meadows, New York. It is one of college tennis's great events, and excited to bring you the results. I think that we've got Coach Isaacs on the air. Let me see if I can bring him in. Hello, Coach Isaacs, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. Welcome to the show today, and excited to talk about your program there at Columbus State. You're entering in, if I've got this correct, your 14th season, Coach, but there are going to be a lot of people that listen to my show that really have no idea about Columbus State or yourself. So could you start off by giving us some biographical information about yourself?
I think it's around 14, 15. The years start jumbling together the more I get here. But, I've been here for that long. I was an alumnus of Columbus State University. Back then it was Columbus College. I think we changed to a university system in 97. I played here, and I was a graduate assistant. Then I went off to work at Wind Lakes Country Club in Montgomery, Alabama, worked for a great pro there named Danny Leal, who used to be on the tour back in the 80s. And then I got the call to come back in 2001, 2002 to take over a program that had fallen off a little bit, and they asked me to come in and try to rebuild the program, and I've been here ever since.
Rebuild the program, Coach. It was in bad shape when you got there, but it seems to be in good shape now. Top 10 finishes for 12 seasons, that's a pretty good start.
Yeah, we've been quite fortunate in that scenario. I've had great athletic directors and presidents that have supported my vision, and we've just, they've allowed me to go out and find the student athletes that I think would fit this program and enjoy this university and enjoy this town. And we've just had a lot of success, and I'm very proud of the accomplishments that we've had here. CSU, Columbus State's it's a great university, it's a great town, and they love their tennis in this community.
Yeah, speaking of Columbus State, Coach, where are you located?
We are about an hour and 15 minutes south of the Atlanta airport, and we are right on the Alabama-Georgia line. So it's really it's a great location. You know, we're an hour and a half from the heart of Atlanta. We're 4 hours from the beach. We're 3 hours from the mountains. So it's easy access to all three, good highway systems to all of them. So for the person that doesn't want the big city life or doesn't want to be in the mountains or doesn't want to be near the beach all the time, this is a nice area to be at.
Hey, Coach, the community there you mentioned is a tennis community. Does it have other universities inside the town, or are you the only one?
We are the only one. There's some satellite campus. We have a technical college down the road from us in Phoenix City, across from a river in Alabama. They have a junior college system over there, and there's another satellite campus of Troy University is in Phoenix City, Alabama. But we're pretty much the game in town with athletics, and it's a growing university. When I went to school here, there was 3,000 students. Now the numbers just came out a week ago. We're at 8,400 students now. It used to be a commuter school back in the day. Now we're attracting kids from all over the world to be here. And so it's real exciting. It's an exciting time to be at Columbus State.
Coach, you're a D2 program. Can you explain what that means and the difference to Division I?
It's a neat dynamic, Division II, for us, because it's basically, I like to think that our level is very comparable to Division I for the tennis aspect of it. But I would also say that there's a lot more, I mean, there's always emphasis for the academic side of it. But for the non-championship segment for us, there's limited time to practice compared to maybe Division I, or might not be able to travel as much as the Division I teams do. But we're able to get the job done, and we're able to be successful in the classroom and on the athletic side.
And, Coach, you just don't have one job. You coach two teams, right?
Yes, men and women, yeah.
Yeah, that's got to be a juggling act in and of itself. And you've kept these teams consistently in the top 10.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of easier for me to do it quicker on the women's side than it was for the men. I think we not struggled for the first couple of years, but it took us a couple of years to start making NCAA appearances on the men's side. But once we were able to get the right players in, we've just kind of kept it going. And it's a pretty neat dynamic with the men's and women's team. They're close together. They travel together. We try to do a lot of things as a team together. But you have to treat them differently. Men and women are different. So you may emphasize one thing on the men's team and then handle it differently on the women, and vice versa. So there's definitely some psychology with both teams.
Coach, do you work out the teams together, or are they separate?
We try to do. I have a good support staff. I've got a graduate assistant that was a former player of mine, and we have two student assistants that were also players of mine. And so we're able to do both at the same time, which is great, which gives me more time to do shows like this or promote the team in the community and stuff like that. We try to do both at the same time. We come up with two different game plans or practice plans, and I kind of roam around both teams and let our assistants kind of run the practice, and I try to go around and help out individually with each person for whatever their needs are.
Yeah, how important is it to have an assistant coach in a small college setting?
Well, I mean, to have both teams in the top 10 and have the quality players that we have here, it's absolutely imperative. I don't know what I would do without some type of help with assistance. They're really the backbone of supporting my vision and carrying out what I see this thing to be. And you know, I challenge all my assistants to have a vested interest in this program, because we try to get assistants in here that want to be coaches later on down the road, and do that. So I really try to keep them as involved and as hungry as possible, so that they're doing a good job. Because if I don't have assistants that are invested in Columbus State, it's not going to be successful. And so if we have that, I've had a number of assistants go on to be head coaches at other universities, and they're doing quite well. And I'm really, really proud of that kind of coaching tree.
And, Coach, you play in the Peach Belt Conference. What teams are in the Peach Belt?
We go from Armstrong State down in Savannah to Flagler College in Florida, and it goes all the way up to University of North Carolina, Pembroke, and we go as far west as Montevallo University, which is just south of Birmingham, Alabama. I think there's 14 schools in our conference, and it's an extremely tough conference. It's one of the tougher conferences in Division II, and I think last year we had eight teams in each, men and women, that were ranked in the top 50 in the country.
Wow.
And Armstrong, as probably your listeners know, is really one of the premier teams in our conference. Their women have won, women and men have won multiple national championships. And so they've really set the bar high, and we're all trying to knock them off.
Now, Armstrong does a great job with their program over there, and I noticed that your fall schedule, you don't have many fall events, Coach. Why is that?
Well, it was really an unfortunate incident. I had four scheduled, and I took a couple players to Athens, University of Georgia, where nice to extend an invitation to a few of my men's players, and we got a nice kick coming. They got a kick out of playing against the big boys, we call them, and they did really well up there. We hosted a little not advertised, but we had some teams come down to us, and we played some matches for a couple days to get some work in. And then we had the unfortunate hurricane that happened in South Carolina, and
yes,
unprecedented.
Sir.
It got that regional got rained out for us, and then we delayed it to the next weekend, and the flood. It was the floods, and I think that Sumter made the right call in canceling the event, because I wasn't going to feel comfortable taking the people that lost their homes or were flooded in their homes. I wasn't going to kick them out of the hotel or anything. So I kind of made the decision as well that we weren't going to go when I heard about the devastation that was going on over there. Last week we did finally get to play in a tournament with both teams over at Georgia College, which is also a Peach Belt school. And we had a nice time. We showed good results last week. So I'm very optimistic about the future. I feel like we can have another successful team. We'll be competing in the top 10, I believe, and we'll be in the mix for a national championship.
Coach, you've got what looks like one more event on your schedule, the CSU Tennis Classic. What is that about?
Well, it's really a special event. It's a fundraiser. We've had a group of people come to us in our community that wants to help us continue our level, improve our level, and this event helps us raise money for scholarships for our players. And it's really a special event. We'll do a kids clinic. We'll do a I call it a pro-am. That's most people. People seem to be scared of the pro-am. So we're calling it a mixer now, where the people of the community will come out and play with the players and have a good time, get to know them and meet them. And then it culminates. We do a ladies clinic also, and it culminates on Friday night, where the club members at Green Island Country Club, they'll have dinner, have tables set up around the court, and we'll do an exhibition for the members and for the community. The community is also involved to come out there. And it's very infant. This is maybe our fourth year of doing it, and this year it's really catching a lot of steam. We're getting a lot of registrations, a lot of sponsors for the event, so we're really taking it to the next level. It's something our kids look forward to every year when they come in the fall. They want to when's the CSU Classic, and it's really neat. There's a lot of neat things going on here.
Yes, sir. Now, when you mentioned that you have to raise money for scholarships, Coach, are you a fully funded program?
We're not. We're close to being fully funded, and that's the goal. We have 15 sports at Columbus State, and we're only funded by athletic fee. The state of Georgia we don't get anything extra. So our budgets are based basically on student enrollment. And with 15 sports, a lot of Division II sports, maybe I think the minimum might be 10 or 11 or something like that. But in our conference, I think we have the most sports out of everybody. So students, more sports, a little bit less of a budget. But our administration and my athletic director, Todd Reeser, is and the community is committed to making Columbus State tennis one of the premier programs, and even better. I mean, currently, right now, we just broke ground on a $9 million tennis facility that is partnering with the city of Columbus, the Tennis Association, and Columbus State. And it's going to be a phenomenal facility. So we're excited about that, too. That should be ready in August of 2016.
So how is that going to change your scope on campus, Coach? Will it add more courts? Will it take away courts? How will that work?
Well, that was the tricky thing when we were doing the planning process. They're actually going to move that facility off campus about a mile down the road. Cooper Creek Tennis Center, which is the public facility in Columbus, it's one of the largest clay court facilities I know in our region, and I don't know how it compares to the United States, but we have 30 clay court public facility, and they came to us, 5-6 years ago, wanting to add hard courts, and they knew that Columbus State was basically the only hard courts in town because all the country clubs have clay courts and so on. And they wanted to help develop a junior program for the city. And it was kind of tough when the good juniors of this area were going to Atlanta or going to other parts of the country and they were playing on hard courts and they didn't feel like the kids were equipped to get better. And a little step behind. So they came to us, we all decided to partner in together. What's really neat about the situation is, because truthfully I did fight it for a little while, because the logistics, I have a lot of international kids. How are we going to get them a mile and a half down the road every day? And how are we going to get them back when we get off from a road trip? Things like that. And Dr. Mescon, he goes, Evan, don't worry about it. We're keeping the courts on campus as well. So that was neat. So as soon as he said that, I said, okay, let's do whatever we want. Let's just build the best facility we can. And so it's really going to be a neat situation. So now we'll have 24 courts between the two spots. The thing that it's going to be interesting is, I really think this will be one of the top facilities in the country, Division I, Division II, because everything that I asked for, they didn't say no to. The planning people didn't say no to. And so I'm like, man, this is going to be really nice. And So I don't think our kids are going to even want to be on campus anymore. So it's going to be a neat situation.
And Coach, you have a lot of internationals on your team. How does that help the school and the program?
Our old president, Dr. Mescon, really wanted to make a push to grow international enrollment. I think there's 150 international students on campus now. We have a nice study abroad program as well. And I think when we started, there might have been less than 50 international students. But how it's helped us, and what's really attractive to them is we have a great business program here at Columbus State, and a lot of the international kids are attracted to our business department, and it's really helped them when they go back to their countries, or if they decide, if they're fortunate enough to stay here, that they know that a business degree from Columbus State is going to help them out later on down the road. We have great support staff for the international kids. We got a great international program that really gets them involved in the campus, in the community, getting them acclimated. That's one of the things that I have when I tell the kids when they first get here, I have great respect for what they're doing. For them to come from another country, speaking another language, I couldn't do it. I've been to Canada for 4 hours to play golf on my wedding day. And in college, I went to Tijuana for 2 hours to know what Tijuana was like. So I haven't been. I can't do what these kids do. So I have a lot of respect for what they do in this to do this. I mean, it's amazing. And their grades are phenomenal. I mean, we have the highest GPA among all the athletic teams. And to be predominantly international and do that, I think, says a lot about our kids.
Yeah, that's hard, Coach, because they got to learn English and put it in grammar, and then they've got to write these papers now. And it's a lot for an international student to get involved with when they first get here, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's extremely tough. Like I said, we have a good support staff academically that helps the kids through the process. And for them to be to have that capability for academics and to play tennis at a high level, it just says a lot about them, and it says a lot about the families that they come from. It shows how determined they are to succeed. It's just really neat to be around. I learn more from them than maybe they learn from me on that situation. Because hopefully one day I'll get the nerve to go visit them when they have kids and stuff like that.
Now listen, Coach, you've got all this success, and you've done a wonderful job with your two programs. Do more Americans get in contact with you to be a part of a nationally ranked program?
Yeah, I get some, and I'm actually, I have started to not focus, but try to trickle in a good mix of Americans. On the men's side, I have two American kids, one from Atlanta area and one from Florida. And on the women's side, I have a girl from the Atlanta area as well. And I've had Americans in the past, a good mix, and I think it's important. You know, when I played college tennis, I was the only American on the team, and it was me and seven Swedish guys. And
wow.
So I was hanging out with them, and the teachers thought I was Swedish and everything like that. So I understand what the American kids are going through, and I've said it all along. If I could have a team full of Americans and have the success that we've had, I would do it in a heartbeat. But it's just kind of not the case. I don't want to say that there's a bad stigma for Division II, but the players that we need to compete at a high level at Division II, your listeners and you have probably heard it before, those type of players are going Division I. And whether or not they're playing at a high level at Division I or not, we all grew up watching TV, watching the national championships trophies being hoisted in basketball and football, and all these American kids have want to go to the University of Georgia and Florida State and Ohio State and schools like that. So when you start talking to them about Columbus State and start talking about the level of your program, unless they come on campus and experience it and see what's going on, they're not truly going to understand it. They just say, oh, it's Division II tennis. That's not Division I. But in our past, we've beaten several Division I schools. And we've had the good fortune of being able to play against those schools or getting to go to Division I tournaments because the Division I coaches understand our level and wants to give us that opportunity to be able to play at that level. And it's really neat. It's just a matter of educating the students to try to attract them to get down and into Division II tennis. So,
you have interdivisional play on your schedule. How important is that to your program?
Well, they get fired up for it. I'm very thankful to have some good relationships with those coaches. Last year we played Lipscomb, we've played Troy for several years, we've played Alabama State for several years, Samford University. We used to play a lot, and I had good relationships with the coaches. They were, a lot of times it's about the coach feeling secure, wants what's best for their team. They might be near the top of their conference, and they just want to play a good match. And they know that Columbus State is going to come there. They're going to play them. We're going to have good matches, good competition, good sportsmanship. And I think that they appreciate that. And I think that they don't have pressure to win or lose against that team, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I wish more coaches would do it. And we just keep trying to, I guess, break through that barrier a little bit. I don't know how the point system or the computer system is for Division I, but apparently it doesn't help them too much points-wise if they're ranked. And so some just automatically turn away from that. So I try to repay the favor and play some NAIA schools or a Division III school on our schedule as well, because they're going through those same things as well.
Yeah, it just seems like that as we go through this, more and more Division I players or Division I teams are not utilizing the interdivisional play, whereas the small colleges, they rely on this quite heavily.
Yeah, and I would assume that most of it is because of regionalization. Division II is, I would say, mostly regionalized. You don't see, and I would say it's because of travel budgets and stuff like that. I would love to take my team to play BYU Hawaii every year, or something like that. Unfortunately, we don't have the budget, but BYU has the budget to come to us, and so we play them. Or, we don't get to go, it would be interesting because the national championship this year is in Denver, Colorado. It would be nice to be able to take my team to Denver, Colorado, because I've done a lot of research in trying to figure out how to play tennis in high altitude, because we are in the valley of Georgia. And so we're trying to figure out how we can train differently this year so that when we get to nationals, the mile high is not going to affect us. It would be nice to have more teams be able to jump regions and play each other. It just doesn't happen. And I would assume it's mostly because of budgets.
Yeah. Coach, where did your coaching philosophy, where did it come from?
It was from a number of places. I've had great fortune to play for some good great coaches and to work under some very accomplished players in the club community. I went to Jefferson State Community College, which was in Birmingham, Alabama, from 91 to 93. And I don't know if you or your listeners know who Bal Moore is. Bal Moore, at the time, was one of the winningest coaches in college tennis. He's also been known as the father of wheelchair tennis. He coached Randy Snow back when wheelchair tennis was coming up. And he was a huge, huge influence on me. I was fortunate enough to play on his last two teams that he coached. And, you know, he was the winningest coach in college tennis at a time, but he had never won a national championship. And so I was on those teams to try to give him that national championship. We didn't succeed, unfortunately. And that's probably why I'm in college tennis now, is to kind of honor him and try to win that national championship. And I would love to do it and present him with my trophy and give it to him. Hasn't happened yet, but he's been a big influence on me. I mentioned Danny Leal when I was at Wind Lakes. He was real simple in his approach of teaching tennis. And he and Andrew Burrow, who was an NCAA champion back in the 80s for the University of Miami and was top 50 ATP player, big influences on me, especially with their humility. I was a young, cocky coach at 27 is when I first started. So I started real young. And they were able to teach me the humility. These players were world-class players, and they had so much respect for everybody. They didn't have an ego. And I would say those three people had a tremendous, profound influence in how I coach now.
Coach, is this a team sport with individual opportunities or an individual sport with team opportunities?
Well, I think they come in as individuals, obviously. They've probably pretty much gone through their whole life being selfish and thinking about themselves. And that's the other interesting dynamic about what we do at CSU. Not only are most of them international, learning a new culture, but also we've got to teach them to think about others. So I would say individual in a team sport. And to get these players to buy in to the team aspect is absolutely crucial for our success. It takes kids to buy into the program, buy into the message that the coaches are giving them, and if they can do that, they're going to be successful. And that's what we care about the most is, yeah, we'd like to win national championships and conference championships and stuff like that. But our biggest priority is making sure that they graduate and then also helping them out down the road if they ever need anything. So it's definitely individual into a team for sure.
Now, how do you keep it fun, Coach?
Whew. You know, it's neat. We try to do fun things for them, like the CSU Classic that we have. They look forward to those things. We'll try to have team dinners at my house. You know, there's a lot of activities on campus. The campus is vibrant. The city is neat. You know, we've taken trips to Six Flags, to, you know, Atlanta. When we go out on the road trips, I try to find the best place to eat that has the best whatever it is, you know. So you know, we just try to keep it fun for them and try to keep it fresh. And then when it's time to get on the court, we do our business, and then we try to work hard and play hard. That's kind of our motto.
Pretty good motto. Coach, yeah. do you have a favorite team building exercise that you participate in?
Not really. I mean, there's just so many.
The reason I ask is because you have all these internationals, and they really have no team experience when they get here, and so building a team is critical to each of these small college programs, and not to mention the Division I's, but the small college programs, because of their diversity that they have, it's a critical point. But what people get lost in is that these kids are here to have fun and understand what it takes to build a team.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I guess the culture more that we try to have is a family culture. You know, again, it has to be very tough for them to leave their parents and their siblings and their friends, and for them to just get thrown into a new culture. You know, and knowing that some of them aren't going home until next May, and they just can't get on a or drive the car to go see their parents like the American kids may get to do. It's tough. So I try to be the father figure, mother figure, whatever, if they're having problems, and if, you know, if they're feeling lonely or missing home, you know, we'll try to do things. I mean, it's kind of interesting. I mean, like I said, I know I'm touting Columbus and Columbus State a lot here, but there's so many neat things in this area for people to do. I mean, our rec center alone is phenomenal. It has three stories. It has a lazy river in there, a 50-person hot tub. I mean,
oh my gosh!
I mean, it's just really neat. And like with all the sports that we have on campus, and again, the players feel loved because the community really embraces them, and you know, they're actually, I want to say, thrown into stardom, I guess is the way of putting it. You know, we try to make all the athletes here feel special and succeed. So I think just getting them, making them feel special, welcome, giving them that family atmosphere gives them a sense of togetherness that, I mean, I don't know if there's a special formula or a special thing that we do. We just try to make them feel great while they're here.
Yeah. Well, the tennis experience helps with that. Coach, I've got to ask, are you building a program or have you built a program?
We're building every day. We're happy with what we've done, but every day we try to challenge. I challenge the coaches. I get them to challenge me, challenge the players. We want to try to get a little bit better every day, just in the classroom, on the tennis courts. We just want to get better. And I don't know if that will ever happen. I mean, you know, we want to be perfect, but we all know that tennis is not a perfect sport. And so we just keep striving to be better every day. And we've accomplished a lot of things, but there's still a lot of things that are still out there that we want to try to achieve. And that's what's fun about taking the journey with the kids, is getting them to buy into our philosophy, buy into the coaching, buy into the school, and take that journey, do as best as you can so that when your tennis career is over, you can look back and be proud of what you accomplished and something that you can tell your kids and grandkids about. And that, you know, that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, and that's a great, great philosophy there, Coach. Are you an underdog. Do you go into these matches being an underdog, or because of your national ranking and your experience there, are you a favorite to nowadays?
I'm not comfortable being the favorite, so we know that there's a target on our back, and we have this thing. I don't know why, and I know why. It's because of our national ranking, but we know that people are trying to knock us down. You know, we're not the traditional Division II power, or we weren't when I started. So we've had to scrape and claw our way up and into the level we're at. And so I don't take anything for granted. I know that the teams that are coming in to play us are going to give us their best match. And for me as a coach, I have to try to prepare our kids to play their best of the abilities. No matter what the other team's level is we're trying. I want every day that they play a match to put their heads together like they're playing for the championship, so that the day that we're in that championship match, they're ready for that. So we know what's ahead of us, and we're just trying to be fortunate enough to get to that situation. So I try to take the underdog approach to everything, because I just know that everybody's going to give us their best match, and we have to respect our opponents that way.
That's a pretty good philosophy there. Are you? What do you think you're missing to win nationals, Coach?
You know, I really like our kids, so I'm not going to say I like our kids. They're working hard. Everything like that. We have a deep team. I think that we're a player or two away. You look at some of the top teams and the personnel that they have. They've got extremely deep teams, and we just have to raise our level. We just have to do better as coaches and players to just try to get better. I'm happy with my team. It's just getting them to believe that we can win that championship. That's for me, that's what it is. Is if we have a team that's motivated and a team that believes in themselves and believes in each other, that's pretty hard to beat. And we've had some occasions where that's been special, and we've gotten to the semifinals of the national tournament before. And then there was times where I looked back and I said, I messed it up. Like, there was a couple times where I felt like, looking back, I was like, man, we had a pretty good team. I just didn't realize it. And so I try to step. I just believe in my teams. I don't know if we're missing anything. I mean, these are the people I pick. So
yeah.
These are the people that I choose to go into these competitions with. And I just believe in them, and I just want them to believe in themselves as much as I do.
Is that what you're doing out there, Coach? Are you getting these kids to believe in themselves, and that's a big difference maker?
I think so. I hope so, because I like the talent. They might not be former ATP or WTA players, but they've got high national rankings from their country. They might and stuff like that, and that's what I try to project to them. Is, you know, sometimes it's frustrating as a coach for us coaches that we believe in this kid so much. We know that they can do well, and sometimes the kid just doesn't get it, or doesn't. It's not as successful as you think they should be. I guess that's kind of like being a parent. you know, you're trying to get your kids to do better every day, and then just be the best that they can. And I think it's important for them to believe in themselves.
Yeah, Coach, you got practice later today?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a tough time for us now because we've finished with the fall season, the fall tournaments, and next week is our CSU Tennis Classic, which we're excited about. I think we have 3 days left in our 45-day window. So I think we're on day 22 of our practice period. And so we're just going to try to get better. We have our first weekend in February. We play University of West Florida. We play Troy University and another school I can't remember right now. But so we just have to use our days wisely to get ready for those teams.
Yeah, Coach, do you look forward to the fall season as far as a building type atmosphere, or are you a spring team dual match kind of guy?
I really like the spring competition. I wish that we could play some more tournaments, and that's one of the things that we will be working on in the future. I like the smell of spring. I love the energy that college tennis provides, the camaraderie with the students. They get really close to one another. And I enjoy being around the other coaches in the conference. We've got phenomenal coaches in our conference that have been at their respective schools for a long time. So it's neat to see those familiar faces.
So what are you going to be working on today, Coach? Anything in particular?
Well, we're gonna finish out the year working a lot in doubles. In Division II, the scoring, it's a 9-point system, which puts a lot of emphasis on the doubles point. 8-game pro sets, every doubles line counts for 1 point. So that probably keeps me up at night the most, is figuring out the doubles puzzle and trying to get these guys playing good doubles, because a lot of the juniors coming in don't have that much experience. I like to think of myself as a doubles guy. Pride the team into playing really good doubles. We haven't worked on it too much this fall, but we're going to end the season. We're trying to stress a lot on doubles fundamentals.
Well, Coach, I want to thank you for coming in today. It's been a pleasure visiting with you.
Well, yeah, I appreciate it. I really appreciate you guys highlighting Columbus State and highlighting our program. I know our kids are excited about it.
Well, Coach, that's easy to do. You got a nationally ranked program out there.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a thrill to be a part of it. Sometimes I think that I'm just the guy that gets them to the matches. A lot of times I'm just happy to be on the bus with them. So they're good. They're a good bunch of kids.
Yeah, very good, Coach. Well, I wish you the best there at practice today.
All right, thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Coach. Bye bye. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Head Coach Evan Isaacs of Columbus State University, and he's been doing a wonderful job out there, bringing this program up to be nationally ranked. And he's doing wonderful things out there, and he's in one of the toughest conferences in the United States, the Peach Belt Conference, with all of its teams in the Division II programs. Man, that's a tough deal. So I want to thank you for listening in today. I want to remind you, I'll be back on next week, hopefully talking with head coach Greg Patton from Boise State University, and look forward to seeing you then. Thanks, and go hit some tennis balls.
Warning. Orthopedic surgeons are seeing an increase in overuse injuries when young athletes perform the same repetitive stressful motions over and over. Pitching, tennis, weight training, even long swimming workouts can cause overuse trauma that may require surgery. If your kids play and train hard, visit orthoinfo.org or stopsportsinjuries.org. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the American Orthopedic Society for Sports Medicine.